Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? What's going on? Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. You are at the right place. And, well, the time is a little bit later than norm. But we're here, live and real. My name is Daryl Clark. Again, thank you for taking the time out to tune in to Progressive News Weekly, where we bring you news and information called from around the globe. It's news you can use. It's news for you, by you, and of you. Similar to what, well, our Constitution says, although, well, there may be some questions. You may have to give it a side look from time to time when you see what's going on, as our bumper tune alludes to, in case you were wondering, who was that? Who was that? The great late Etta James singing a tune from the late great Marvin Gaye. What's going on? You know, it's amazing how some things just span the test of time. And that's one of those iconic tunes that does just that. Because if you look at what's happening now, it's an offshoot of what was going on during and just prior to about when that song came out by the great Marvin Gaye of What's Going On. The tune, the lyrics, it's just apropos. If you just think about it. What's happening, brother? I mean, just, you know, looking at the lyrics, what's happening? Hey, brother, what's happening? Too many of you crying, mother, mother, mother. Brother, brother, brother. You know the rest. Far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. And then he goes on to say, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. Because only love can conquer hate. But we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. And it goes on. How apropos. Too many of us dying in the streets right now, folks. I know you've heard that said about 1,000 times in the last days and weeks. We're protesting. This is so reminiscent of a most recent movement of civil rights. But this can't be the same. We can't go down that same street and get bit by that same dog. So we have to talk about that, and then we have to go beyond the normal talk. And it can't be the same talking heads. We need new voices to get into this discourse. And it doesn't have to be a tid or famous voice, although it would make a difference. But I think recent time has proven we can't rely on that. So we need all of our voices collectively. And then perhaps out of that they'll come like a phoenix. An energy that will galvanize movement, this undercurrent that has already begun to take place. It is live, as Gil Scott-Heron said. This revolution is live. And it's televised. Because, you know, he said, the revolution will not be televised, it'll be live. But it's televised. But some parts of it are not. And that's where you, the listener, come in. So welcome again to Progressive News Weekly, where you are the news. Or, as I like to say, the news is you. So this evening, we're going to truly, truly get into some discourse about what it is that's going on and what it is that we can do a difference. I have in studio, I see someone I'm very, very pleased to see that's going to be joining us shortly. a remarkable mind, I like to say, and may not be on your radar screen as the rich and famous, as we say, but a remarkable mind and a change agent, which in many respects is far more important and what we need today. Because you see, unlike times past, where those who had the resources, our entertainers, our athletes, even in some cases, mind you, politicians were stepping up and stepping out. And we're just not seeing that. And the truth be told, it's because what's led up to this point in time, from what I have seen, has not produced the kind of grounding that's needed to make the kind of difference. So we've got to collectively come together. Because, see, we've been bamboozled for the last 30 or 40 years, yours truly included to a significant degree. We've been bamboozled. We fell asleep. And now we're starting to kind of wake up. We haven't woken up. We just kind of waking up. We still got sleep in our eyes, though. And I say we. So collectively, we've got to nudge each other and wake each other up. Because some of us are in a dream still. Us. I'm not pointing fingers here, folks. So I need you all to kind of nudge me, too. You know, remember that? One little, two little, three little Indians? So we got to consciously stir our energies. Because the answers are within us. We always talk about thoughts are things. And why are these things happening? And so it makes sense. It's because of our thoughts produce this. And I said we. Keep in mind, I'm saying we. I'm not here pointing fingers. I got these two big thumbs looking right back at me, so I can't afford to point fingers. So we need to engage, folks. And this evening, we're just going to stir the pot a little bit. Just a little bit. Just turn the heat up just a little bit. And the goal is to just have some uncommon discourse, just to start stirring the pot up. Because we need something different than what we're seeing on television. And the marches, I love the energy. I've participated. I've been out there trying to social distance at the same time, which is very difficult to do for those of you who have participated in any kind of a civil protest in these last few weeks. But we need to step back. Folks, we can't be in that mix for the sake of being there to say, I agree. Because we need to step back and really think about what is it that we're agreeing to. I don't think we have a commonality in that sense. I really don't believe it. Not the one that's going to make the difference down the road. Of course, we want justice. No justice, no peace. I get, but what does it do to that justice? We can't put a Band-Aid on this one. And that's the kind of discussion that we need to be having. And we need to also be talking about how is it that I've contributed to this? Well, maybe not in a direct way, but maybe in an indirect way. What is it that I haven't spoken up and said that I could have said? What is it that I've not done that I could have done? What is it that I did that maybe I shouldn't have done? And those are some of the questions we really got to delve into. And do we have snakes with us as one of our guests last year, who hopefully she'll be back soon, one of our activists, would say, we've got to identify and cut the heads off of our own snakes. And some of those might surprise some of us in the form that they are, because we, I believe, have a significant number of wolves in sheep's clothing amongst us. And the dangerous part about that is some of them don't even realize they're wolves. That makes them more dangerous. In other words, I believe we're being misled to a significant degree. So we have to be careful. You have to be very careful, and we have got to be willing to have this dialogue, this discourse, this uncommon discourse, this uncomfortable discourse. This time around, we're gonna cut out the chaff. You know, sometimes for those of you who have lawns, and you know, you get the browning of the lawn, and sometimes you just got to get a steel rake and just kind of rake out, you know, grass, because it just tends to squeeze out the life of the good grass. But it's there. It's right there on the lawn, being present. So similarly, we've got to identify and just kind of weed out that dead grass. So it's going to be important that, relatively speaking, the few of us, the 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 or 200 that regularly tune in, that we let it be known that we have something to say, and it may not be comfortable with what may be the majority in our circles, and predominantly African-American circles. This may even mean within our own families, within our own inner circles of homeboys and homegirls. What's happened in these last few months? We have to start here. Did not just begin in these last few months. This is systemic, and it's been occurring for the last 30 years across all political parties, all genders. We're all in this, folks, especially in the African American community. All religions, because whatever it is that we're doing isn't working. We used to say the proof is in the pudding. I still say it. It's not working. So if something is not working, you know, definition of insanity, you keep doing the same thing, expecting something different, this is insane. So then what is that different thing that we're going to do? We got to start looking sideways at the folks around us and those who have been in leadership positions, who have been leading us. It hasn't been working. So we're going to talk somewhat about that. Is our black agenda, what do we have as rites of passage for our young men and our young women, our girls and our boys? Why is it that in many of our major cities where we have African-American mayors and African-American superintendents and African-American chief of police, that we're doing poorly? Start asking these tough questions. Where we have churches and mosques, relevant and significant numbers, something's not working. And we need to start asking the questions. If it's not working, we need to start working on it. Like an engine. You got an engine in a race and it keeps losing. Okay, well, we try to put the same part in. It's maybe a newer part, but it's the same part. Maybe we need to just look at maybe rebuilding, checking out a new type of an engine. And that's the kind of open thought that I want to just begin to put out there. So you say, well, what you talking about? What is it? Well, that's some of what we're going to talk about this evening in more specifics in the series ahead, because this is something that we can't address in the next 25 minutes. We have a limit this evening on our program, so it's going to go a little quick, but hopefully, we'll stir some interest such that we'll be able to reach out to some folks and say, look, let's do something different. Tune into Progressive News and don't just be a secret agent and sit on the sidelines. Let's express some thought about how we feel about what's going on. As our bumper tune by Miss Etta James alluded to, what's going on? Brother, too many of you dying. And these are our children. And we know. We collectively have a strong idea. You know why I know? Because when I do my empirical study, that is just simply talking to a few folks, just a simple sample, I don't need, you know, the pollers, the great pollers in the universities, Monmouth and the other universities that do the polls. Do your own poll. You know, like some of the preachers say, tap three people and tell them you love them. Tap three people and ask them if they really think what's happening now just started now. Or has it been something that's been going on for 5 years? The last 3 years, 10 years, the last 30 years. How far have we come since Martin, that shot? How far have we come since Malcolm took that shot? So ask those questions, and you're going to get some common answers. I'll give you a hint. We ain't came far enough, but yet we can turn on the NAACP awards and we can see folks dressed in their $50,000 gowns, literally, tuxes, $5,000 tuxes. This is kind of, I mean, and I'm not hating. This is not about hating. All I'm saying is that collectively, and the listeners of Progressive News, I am blessed to have you to partake in this energy movement, because that's what it is. We're all in this together. Who is that, Al Jarreau? We're all in this together. We are going to be the change agents. If each one of us have a common message, and that's the key, a common message, and I'm from time to time getting more and more on the social media, LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. I don't do too much Twitter. And I'm seeing a lot of the videos that are out there and, you know, depicting a lot of what folks are saying. One of the things that are unquestionable is how much we weld in terms of wealth, how much the African American community is worth. We're worth enough to shut down the NBA. We're worth enough to shut down the NFL. We're worth enough, heck, to shut down some Walmart. Think about it. One of the largest corporations on the planet. If some black folks said no more to a number, So we got to start thinking in those terms. And we got to start thinking about, are there some black folks that ain't doing what they could be doing? And we got to be careful because some folks just don't know any better. And that was part of that whole think tank, like Dick would tell me over the years. A lot of wisdom that we all have within us needs to start surfacing. You know, the wisdom that your grandparents put in you and every night, that mentor, that person that helped raise you wasn't necessarily a blood relative. In my case, Dick Gregory, some of the Ernie Larson, you don't know that one. There's so many people I've been blessed to get to know that had so many conversations with me sidebar and would tell me things. And I'll tell you, these folks are coming strong to my presence, consciousness in terms of things that they would say. Dick would say, that person you may think is that person is not the person that you may think he or she is. Oh, yeah, they got a lot of pull. But just step back at some point. Don't move too soon. Make sure you got some folks in the boat with you. But eventually, stir up the pot a little bit. Put a little bit of seasoning in at a time. You don't never dump all the seasoning in at once when you're making up a good broth. Put a little bit of that pinch of this, and you keep stirring and keep adding a little bit more. And that's what we need to do, folks. I see Brother Porter is in studio, which is a blessing. Brother Porter, I'm going to mention, he's going to be joining us soon, author, engineer. In fact, he's the executive director of Man-Made Mentoring. Foot on the grounds, brother, out of Texas. Been doing a lot of work for a lot of years, a lot of decades, let's put it that way. I said decades in plural. That means he's put some work in, because anything more than 10 years, you put some work in. If you put a significant amount of work, depending on what you've done, for 2 years, you can get something done. But he's been sort of quietly on the sideline. So we need to quietly put the quietness to the side. It's time for us to kind of step up. So I would dare say everyone within an earshot of my voice right now have a major role to play in this movement. You're going to change humankind for the existence of the future. Every single person on this call right now are no coincidences in life. I'm speaking holistic now, mind, body, and spirit. So as I'm saying these words, think about yourself in the true light that you are, in the blinding light that you exist. You got something to say and something to do and a difference to make. And so Mr. Porter and I were just having some interaction from time to time. We do email. We don't talk all the time. And with everything that's gone on, I know, you know, he had situations there in Texas. My nephew is there. I got relatives in Texas. Y'all remember back, was about 5 years ago, when the little girl, the cop did the little ninja move on her, and, you know, it was just disgusting, and it was that she was at a little black sister at a pool party. That was in Texas. Of course, everybody on this line, and I'm so blessed to say welcome again from across the country. We got folks in Vegas. We got folks up in Boston tuning in. We got folks in Florida. And we got folks in, listen, St. Louis, you know, right in that area, Ferguson, remember that? We got folks all over. We got folks in Memphis where the shot was taken that's tuning in. So I say the shot. If you don't know what that is, then we need to do some work. Of course, I was talking about Martin. So we all have something critically important, critically important. I'm a Cleveland homeboy, and I can't say the words Tamir Rice enough. He's a kid. So we've all got some energy that we can tie into and utilize that energy. We talk about full moon energy and how the emergency rooms tend to get more active. That's a statistical fact. You can do the research on it. There's no questions about it in any research university you go to. So now that that's a fact, a statistical fact, they say, well, why? Well, we know about the energy. We've talked about it enough. We're approaching a full moon beginning of next month. It'll be coming. Right now we're approaching a new moon. In fact, I believe Sunday will be a new moon. You know, we need to be aware of these things that are going on because our adversaries are aware. So we got to be holistic movement as well, like nothing else. A force to be reckoned with. That even though the revolution will not be televised, it'll be live, it's unstoppable because there's an energy behind it. So this is all prime time when we have the physicality on our side because people are marching in the streets. But spiritually and mentally, I am concerned. Those aspects. And I say mentally because I think there's too many following kind of lockstep and just angry because they saw a man with a knee on his throat. And then the most recent, well, not most recent, because you can believe that the situation in Atlanta, the most recent, is just the most televised. These things have been happening. They're going on every week. Just understand, every week. And I'm so pleased to hear the possibilities of what's happening with that cop in Atlanta. I'm hearing that they may throw the book at this guy, murder one, hopefully. But we've got to step back and say, okay, what is this that's going on? Why is this happening to these brothers? And is it a coincidence? We got to start thinking, I would use Dick Gregory's energy and voice. Is it a coincidence? This brother George happened to know the guy, just happened to know the guy? What, is there something going on there? We got to start thinking like that, folks. Forget about what people say. Oh, man, you conspiracy theorist. No. I just like to check out the possibility of receipts, period. And so we've got to come up with things that are tangible, demands that truly underscore a black agenda. Nothing against, and the listeners have been there for 2, 3, 4, 7, 8 years. So I've been talking about this. Nothing against my Latino brothers and sisters. We need you, those who understand and are truly, truly in the mix with us. There's no fences. Our Jewish brothers and sisters. Oh, yeah. But the core, this is a black thing. This is a black thing, folks, at the core. Peripherals. Remember that Underground Railroad? We needed some white conductors. But the core heart and soul and energy of it, it has to be a black thing. So Mr. Porter and I were just having some communication, and looking at his body of work, I asked, "Would you just come on and just give me some thoughts about, you know, how you feel?" And then from there, perhaps in the week or weeks ahead, we can draw in some energy, because I don't have all the answers. He doesn't have all the answers, and neither of most likely any of you listening have all the answers. But collectively, we do have all the answers. So I want to bring Brother Porter on to give him a little bit of opportunity to have some impact on this discourse and what we're talking about. He is the author of Angry Little Men, Hypermasculinity, Academic Disconnect, and Mentoring African American Males. There have been some folks doing some good work out here for a long time. but collectively have not come together. Juwanza Kanjufu, you know, another great who's been doing excellent work out there for quite a while. There's so many. Naeem Akbar, I mean, just I can go on and on. Dr. Joy DeGruy. I mean, these are folks that are record energetic entity on this particular program listening in. You have a niche, and your charge program is over to let this resonate inside of you. And I'm specifically not going into specifics because the specific I'm looking for is in you. Kevin, are you in studio? I see Cecil's got you here. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, girl. How you doing?
I'm good, my brother. How are things going on down in the Texas? And I want to say to all the listeners before I hand the mic over, this is the eve of Juneteenth, and you know, I'm a late bloomer, folks. I'll be quite frank. I'm a late bloomer. I didn't start getting into Juneteenth, and I'm in my 60s, until some 30 years ago. That makes me a late bloomer. Our children should know about this because it was important. You know, it's a celebrated holiday, June 19th. It commemorates the emancipation of enslaved people in the U.S., you know, and it started in Texas, where on that date, it's 1865, in the aftermath of the Civil War, slaves were declared free. What it does is, we can't forget slavery. You won't find a Jewish person, a real Jewish person, because you got the pseudos, that does not embrace their history of what happened to them. There's an energy there. Back to the full moon and the ER, emergency room, because people get crazy. They don't know how to handle the energy, the excess energy. That same energy can be used to promote and produce and to persevere. And so that's what we want to be aware of. Products of slavery. And until we embrace that, we won't understand our strength. Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest athletes, he understood. He embraced who he was. Anything less than that kind of embrace is pseudo. And we need to be careful. We need to be very careful of anyone that does not embrace it to that extent. Michael Jordan crossed my mind. Excuse me, you Michael Jordan fans. Nothing against the brother. He's a good guy. Well, I can't say he's a good guy. I don't know him. He could be a pervert. Okay, I said it. But I don't know. I don't know him. I mean, he appears to be a decent guy. But I do know one thing, that as much money as he's given, and I know he talked about $100 million. Same thing with Beyonce. I ain't trying to hate on these people. I know they gave, and I don't remember the fact. It was millions. But I'd rather have the energy of his heart than his $100 million, because his heart energy, because of what he was able to accomplish, could be far worth more than $100 million. If he sat in a corner, never opened up his mouth, and gave $100 million, I would dare say that could possibly have less value than if Michael Jordan got up and said, power to the people. Because now what he's doing is he's saying, Nike, to hell with you. My people come first. That's an energetic difference place in the past. But what's happening with our youth, which is what I was saying earlier in the program, a lot of them, because of the systemic, and I know this is happening, not just from the little research I've done, but Dick Gregory shared with me his research team on those conference calls and early morning calls that we had for about 3 years. And I would talk to him about once a week. Now, it's all coming out. It's time now, folks. And he would tell me, Daryl, there's some think tanks down here, because he lived in D.C. Miss Gregory was up, of course, in Massachusetts, in New England. But he lived down there. He says, man, it's some shit. I mean, that's how he talked. There's some stuff going on, man. There's some think tanks. And this was 10 years ago. He says, man, they got some stuff planned. He says, they stockpiling weapons. They're going to start killing black folks. He was telling me this 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. This is all part of a plan, folks. So we gotta step back and be aware of who's who. That's what I'm saying. It may kind of insult some people. You know, maybe like, well, hey, you know, the guy did give this or she did give and they doing that. Wait a minute. Let's look in the whole picture here now, you know. Let's look between the lines. Let's see. Okay, let's look on the canvas on which the picture is being drawn. So this is the eve of Juneteenth, and I would just ask that everybody has an earshot of any youth, make sure you just mention, do you know what Juneteenth is? You got to browbeat them. Because they'll pick it up. You know, you give a child, just stand them on their feet. Eventually they'll say, I kind of like this. And then next thing you know, they'll be toddling around. Just say, you know, Google Juneteenth. They all got phones. Just all I want you to do is just Google Juneteenth. They'd be like, Dad. Yeah, you're a product of slavery. Everything ain't equal. Well, my best friend, you know, he's white or he's Hispanic or he's Indian and... Yeah, that's all right. That's cool, too. But they all know their history, and they know their culture, and that's why when they play their music, it's not perverted. You hear the horns, and you hear the jingle jangle and the Indian. But we still, now we have gone into what has now become one of the broadest forms of music, which is hip-hop. We're recognized by hip-hop jazz, something that soothes, as my dad used to say, the savage soul. And we create it, mind you, but we're recognized. There was a documentary on this past weekend, The History of Hip-Hop. I knew most of it, I mean, going back to Kool Moe Dee and all those guys, it's, you know, originating in New York City and all that stuff, and I get all of that. But that's what we are recognized by. And it's a very creative art form. Don't misunderstand me. But the proof of the pudding is it doesn't embrace all art forms. On the surface, but be careful to us. What do you think?
All right.
For the porter.
Oh, I think we're in some trying times. I just think this is, you know, like anything in history, there's a time period for things to really transfer. This is a time for power to transfer. Successful protests have been going on for years, and riots have followed those protests. Uprisings have followed, but a lot of times there has not been enough change. I think what we're seeing now is we see a generation that has witnessed the lip. You know, the lip talking and seeing very little done. And then there's another generation that wants more, and that's this millennial. They want more freedom. They want more peace in their community, more vision, more worldly interaction. And this America only, America first, has its place, but it's not the place for the 21st century. I think what we are seeing now is that collectively people want things done. They're protesting to get things done. But I think what we have to do as the elders of these protests is to make sure we don't leave our legacy in the street. We have to leave our legacy in the Supreme Court. We have to leave our legacy through laws, the changing of laws. Police have gotten away with abuse for years. You saw it in the Watts riots. You saw it in the Rodney King riots, and you continue to see it. They have abused people with no penalty. And what we need to do is put in place that we are no longer going to have a military program in our community. We have to have public servants. And I don't think the police have lived up to the term serve and protect. They have harassed citizens, African-American citizens for years. When I saw what happened to that good brother George Floyd, it just takes you back to growing up in the hood. My community, I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. And, every city has a pocket, right? Every city has a pocket of just black, poor people that live amongst themselves, don't know how beautiful it is outside of their community. But I lived in the poor side of Kansas City, and police harassed us all the time. You run from them, you throw rocks at them. They would beat up kids who were bad, threaten you. We had 5 drug houses on one block. My mother used to call the police on them, the drug house. They wouldn't come and stop it, So they were very ineffective. They were not there to serve and protect. They were just there to make sure we stayed within our small community. So I think now what we're realizing is that we need to change how police are utilized in our communities. And we no longer need people to harass and beat and to threaten, because all that does is make them police officers terrorists, and that's what they've been. They've been terrorists. And I'm just surprised that we haven't filed a claim on the United States, the class action lawsuit against the United States, because what is going on is systemic. And if it's systemic, that means that it is so embedded in the culture that you have to know it's there. You know it's there. The police reports is there, witnesses is there, people come and complain. And it's not just one city. It's every city in the United States. Why not a class action lawsuit against the United States of America for allowing a terrorist police department to harass the citizens of this country? And I say those things only to say that when I speak it 20 years ago, I expected somebody else to do it, right? When we want change to the laws, you think, well, it's got to be somebody else. Somebody else is going to do it. I know I'm not the only one thinking about this. And this is what I tell to your listeners. It's up to us to get it done. It's up to us to start writing and determining how to create a bill so we can present to the Senate, or if we want a class action lawsuit, to get lawyers to look at or to request them to petition from the courts about filing a lawsuit. But I think we can no longer wait for celebrities, wait for other people to do it. It's going to take people like you and myself we got to step up, and we have to move that bar. We have to challenge the system we live in and the communities that we live in. All your listeners have an opportunity to, if they think that the police department or whatever services are in their community is not working right, you can't wait for anybody else to do it. The people who are protesting, they're doing their job. They're keeping it on the fire, right? But sometimes they think that that's what their job, and it is. They're doing a great job of keeping the light on the issue. Now we need people who are willing to step up to the next level and submit this to City Hall or to the police department or to the for the federal courts to take a look at this, because we have to move it to that next level. And that's the importance of teaching our kids that, yes, protest is one way of doing it, right? But the other way of doing it is legally, you got to legally bound somebody. And the reason why you do that is, you know how people were saying the police were kneeling with us, and they kneel with you 1 minute and beat you the next hour, the next day, because it's all a game for. You hear the NFL say, "Oh, I made a mistake. We did Kaepernick wrong." You were doing Kaepernick wrong before. It's just that so many other you got so much attention on it now. You don't have any place to go but say you did them wrong. But do you really feel that way? If you did, you would have known that 4 years ago, because 4 years shouldn't change how you feel about a person, even at what you saw at this point. But I think we're at it's sort of a frustrating time because we want things to move fast. It's a frustrating time because we know that our time on this earth is limited. It's a frustrating time because if you look back in the history and look at the Watts riot in 65, look at what happened in L.A. riots, so there was police abuse there, people getting off, looking at the other incidents over the last 10, 15 years, and you're saying, well, not enough has changed. Well, the reason why not enough has changed is because they have put us to sleep with "I'm sorry," or "we're going to do better," or they get 2 or 3 weeks or a month or two, and we kind of go away. But now we can't go away anymore. We're being held accountable by the Most High to do something, to put into action what our words are actually telling us to do. We're not totally free until we're able to speak the way we need to speak and hold people accountable when they do us wrong. And that sometimes requires the law, because evil people are going to be evil. And you need to hold them accountable through the law. And I think that's why we need to kind of approach it from a legal standpoint as well. We want to express that we're not happy with the police. But it's more than expressing you're not happy. You got to hold these guys are not being convicted. They're not getting brought in. If they're fired, they'll go somewhere else. The 57 police officers who quit in Baltimore, wherever that was, I guarantee you that they're in some suburb in Baltimore. I guarantee you they got jobs. You know, so so they just move these people around. What we want to say is, if you're a bad cop, you're out. Get another job. Your job is difficult, but if you can't handle it, if your gun is your only self-defense, get another job.
Brother Kevin, what do you feel about the NAACP, some of these other so-called watchdog organizations, and the impact that they have had to date in terms of galvanizing and making a difference? Going back to, you know, the last great so-called civil rights movement of the 60s.
Right. I know, honestly, organizations do the best they can, especially because of membership and because of money. When they had Thurgood Marshall, they were, you had a great one, right? You had a great one when that was winning. NAACP was a voice. They still have impact, but it's really there's different agendas that we can't see. There's so little that they can show receipts for. That's what I call it now. Everybody needs to show receipts for what you've done in the last 10 years. And every organization should be held to a higher standard. If the NAACP is representing the blacks, and we've had all of these police brutality incidents, then are you representing us, really? I mean, nobody else is. But that's why I say it's important for us to get involved. Other organizations, they have a voice, but it's not a big voice. And I think what we always miss in this generation is the Martin Luther King effect, the one leader that is going to galvanize all of us to take action. and we keep waiting for that person. It's a Jesus effect. You keep waiting for, you know, somebody to come and save you. And the only person who's going to save you is you. These organizations, they have a purpose, but I don't think their purpose is to save us. The purpose is to for us to have a place that we can collectively talk about issues, collectively plan on doing some things, but there's not a lot of receipts from these organizations that I can speak of. And I'm a member of a lot of them, too, so I'm not speaking because I don't like the organization. I'm speaking because I'm a member of the organization, and I know we could do more, and we don't. We don't do more because of membership. We don't do more because of finances, and we don't do more because I think a lot of us sit on our tails and wait for somebody else to do it.
What about a real agenda, a real common agenda? And somebody's got to take the fall. And I used earlier in the program the NFL. The NFL is an example. Just to flex. You know, when you got a bully, sometimes you got to punch him in the face. And then the rest of the body will be, you know, I don't want to feel that. The stomach is like, I ain't wearing, I don't want to feel that. The gonads, I don't want to feel the knee. I don't want a part of that. So the whole collective body of the bully, which is all of that which oppress and oppose us as African Americans, need to feel a punch, whether it's in the knee or the gonads or the eye or, you know, wherever it is. And I'm just saying, you know, whatever it is may say, well, why me? And maybe it has to be that NFL to say, you know what, we're not going to do it. NFL fraternities are behind it. The churches are behind it. And then maybe that could lead into something such as to talk about we need to have a law. We need to draft a law. And until it's drafted and put in place, I don't care about you being a Democrat. You aren't doing anything for me. You're giving me lip service. And so that's where I was mentioning, why is it that in our towns, and I can do a microscope on my town, black superintendent, black chief of police, black mayor, well, sort of, and so the undercurrent of religious institutions is supposedly at least 75, and the town is a town of 50,000, 60,000. So, you know, in terms of, you know, religious involvement, not to mention a couple mosques, two or three, but yet, there's been the worst school, one of the worst school districts in the area. Crime rate isn't that bad. It's higher than it even needs to be. But I'm just saying, why is it? And this is a small town, so it's kind of easier to turn on a dime. But when you have these large cities like Atlanta and Chicago and the problems that they have, the systemic problems. We've even had a black, you know, president. And I'm not saying one person can just change the whole ship. But the point is I'm really looking very critically at the circumstances, and I'm very concerned as to whether there is a real agenda, something that is earth-shaking. And I don't see a politician, a religious leader, willing to step up and say, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do. T.D. Jakes saying, okay, folks, we need to have a law passed. And it's got to be to reverse the clause of two-thirds of a man. And we are not going to stop until that is removed. I don't hear T.D. Jakes saying that, and that's a brilliant man. I've got so many books and follow him, so don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to villainize anyone. I'm just saying I'm concerned that it hasn't been working. Why not? I'm brainstorming the things I'm saying. I mentioned, you know, Jordan and some other thoughts. Mm-hmm. I guess by the time I get off the phone, I have half of, you know, notable folks hating me. But I have no concern, because that's not why I'm here on this planet, for them to love me. You know, I have, at my point in time in my life, I believe I am here to make a difference. You know, in my life, those around me, those my family first, my loved ones, and to extend that love and difference amongst my culture, my community, and this is my belief, because there are those that would say, well, we need to nix all of that color thing. We're all humans. Let's just, and the day that we do that, the day that things will be better. And I say, I am what I am. Caterpillar is a caterpillar that evolves into a butterfly, but they have to go through the cycle of who they are. A whale is a whale. A whale is not a bluefish. A bluefish is not a lobster. I mean, you are what you, there are differences, and we coexist in the ocean together. Yeah, but we came here. And I believe that we need to understand who we are, to be the best that we are, to contribute to the whole, the best that we are. And I believe there are those that would want to dilute, because the world is getting smaller. Why is it that some cultures are just steadfast in what they do and who they are, and others are diluted and broken, attempted to be broken? So that's why I'm crucial on some of these folks who have voices that have not made the difference that I think they can make. Now they've done some great things. I mean, T.D. Jakes, for example, has changed a lot, probably millions of lives on a smaller scale. I'm just saying that, but what is that one thing that maybe that individual could do, and intellect. I mean, you know, I'm close to revering him, so I don't want anyone to think, not that I care, because I really don't care what folks think about me at this point, but I don't, you know, want folks to misunderstand where I'm attempting to come from. And if they do, it is, let the chips fall where they may, but I will at least attempt to express, to clarify, that it's not a vilification of any of these individuals. I just think that that's where they are, whether it's conscious or subconscious. But the bottom line is, it is what it is, and it's not working, because we still have this. And I'm not saying I'm trying to subscribe to a perfect world, because you're always going to have folks that are going to be, you know, disenfranchised and harmed. But this is so obviously, disproportionately, a disenfranchisement on a specific race of people. In my heart of hearts, I know there's a better way. In my mind of minds, in my wisdom of wisdom, whatever I have to bring to the fore in my conscious fiber, I know better. Your thoughts. And by the way, folks, as we begin to wrap up this segment, because I want to work with you, Brother Porter. You talked about, let's do something with laws. I want to work with you and bring something to the listener, something concrete that we can say, well, you know, here's some specifics. And then have our listeners, let's try to spread this. I've been talking about this. We have a forum here with Progressive News Weekly, fortunately. This is a national, international forum. We don't have the listenership. But I'm not talking about baby mamas either. That's not what you're going to get here. So it's going to be incumbent upon the listeners to share and say, hey, there's something going on. There's a voice over here. It may not be what you want to hear, but just give it a chance. And just in this stream that's going on over there at Progressive News. And I would love to partner with you and engage our listeners to partner, because as I said in the beginning, they all have something to offer there with what we're trying to accomplish, which is the well-being of a culture, a race of people that obviously have a place in this universe by what they've been through and are still here, even though there's been a front on them for homosexuality and a front on them for being drug addicts and a front on them for being noted for perversion and a front put on them. All of this is by design through a think tank and think tanks that have looked upon this planet on a global scale and said, which is the weakest? Let's take out the African Americans. We'll dilute them. And I'm not, this crazed person about interracial marriage and that, but we'll dilute them into obscurity, and then the ones that are left will impact them because they're such small numbers with drugs, disease, perversion, and not knowing who they are. So, my brother, for these few minutes, I want to open the mic up. Anyone, press 1 on your dial as we begin to wrap up this particular segment. I'd love to hear from any one person what your thoughts are regarding this discourse. Just to put a little bit of energy. We're talking about putting a little spice here and a little bit of something here. I'm asking our listeners, whoever is out there, someone to just press 1 on that dial and just share with us for a minute what your thoughts are on this this discourse that we're talking about right now. In the meantime, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Happy Father's Day, Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not about just being a father. It's about being, a dad. It's about, having an impact on another being that you are responsible for to, help them along their way to understand who they are and whose they are and to be able to make a difference and to be able to perpetuate an energy that is going to serve them, their loved ones, for generations to come in a good and productive and righteous way. So we're coming up to the top of the hour. No one has decided to dial that 347-838-9142 if they didn't dial to get in. Press that 1 on their dial. They're shivering there. I don't want to say anything. They're probably angry. Maybe I've stirred some energy up that wasn't so much one of passion, but, we have to be careful because we have in our DNA, in our subconscious DNA, as Joy DeGruy would say in her book, we need to understand that that has a lot to do with our athleticism, that energy that's in our DNA. While we're better boxers and tennis players and golfers and bowlers and not to mention the major sports, baseball, football, basketball. But a lot of that has to do with that energy there. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say, a lot of that energy is based on why I wrote my book, Angry Little Man. There's energy that's in us, and a lot of times the community and everything that's around us doesn't provide us with the positive energy that we need. So we keep what energy we have to survive, and it becomes a protection for us, a coping mechanism, and it's angry. It appears angry. And the first time I was told that I looked angry was when I was in high school and going to get my lunch, and the cafeteria worker said, "Why don't you smile? You look so angry." And I was thinking in my head, if I smiled, then I would be put myself on display as showing weakness. It shows weakness. And that's why you see the protests, because we are angry, right? You're only angry because you can't get to what you want to get to. And I think that's where we're at now. We've expressed anger, and now we're trying to take it to the next level, truly obtain our freedom, our voice, our power. So we might not be able to look to the NFL, because sometimes in being a leader or taking the chance to go to that next level, you have to have experienced some trials, have some faith that it's time for you to stand up. Now, we have some that are standing up. I think Michael Jenkins, I think that's his name, he's played for Philadelphia, very outspoken brother. But you don't have, it might be one in every locker room, or you need 10 in every locker room. Right? So I think we're getting there. And I think even your listeners, even if they haven't raised a hand to speak up, they're trying to figure out right now, we're all processing this. This has all happened within 3 weeks. We're processing this truth that we have. And now what do we do? What do we do when they're not protesting as much? It's going down and down. Well, we got to do something different. We got to make these laws. We got to sit down and do some research and figure out what laws have been written that look like our laws. We got to do some legal work without using lawyers for a minute. So I think we're getting there. And this program is a program that's helping leaders and listeners to find their freedom and their voice. So I applaud you, girl, for what you're doing, because you're opening up eyes. You might got a little sleep in them, but I think I guarantee you that we're more woke than we were 10 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. We got a long way to go, and there's a long haul, but we're going to need all hands on deck in order to get to the promised land that we all know exists. We can't think our own comfort zone. I would dare say most listeners are in somewhat of a comfort zone, but we have to think beyond that, because we're no better well off than our weakest link. We go out into the hood, and if we don't live in the hood, we know somebody that, and you know when I say in the hood, middle, lower income, areas of wherever it is around where we live, and we go down there, and I say down there, that's how we used to refer to it, and we see the children, you know, like many of us were when we were children, but there's so much more at stake now. Now there's truly lives that are lost in mass, and now the minds are so much indoctrinated now. That when we look at how small the world is and how fast the world is moving, we can't afford to lose a child, not to mention a potential mentor, as you talk about in the work that you do, to help that child. So it's going to be critical that we continue this dialogue, I mean, consistently grain it, ingrain it, turn it over, plant it again until it gets deep roots, like alfalfa deep, like 20 feet deep roots. That's the importance of what we have to do. We have to have that discussion and be careful of those who are claiming to be serving us. We need to be serving ourselves from all fronts. We have to be careful with our churches and what's going on there and what's taking place, and not just if we are involved in a church or synagogue or whatever it is, that the things that are being represented there are things that are truly making significant differences, and it's good that we can help individuals, because those individuals certainly appreciate when they get that helping hand. But we're so far in a hole that we really need to begin exceeding those deficits with some major impact, and I believe collectively is where that's going to happen, and I'm willing to use this forum to help with that. So only time will tell as to what we're going to be able to accomplish with that. with the voices of the listeners. That will be the barometer through which we're able to measure what type of impact that we're having. So, Mr. Porter, Kevin, I thank you for taking the time out. Thank you for the work that you're doing. I'm looking forward to working with you, having some, you know, conversation offline to get into some specifics to begin to generate and then germinate a message that will proliferate throughout, because we're blessed to have, like I said, just a broad coverage of geography to make a difference. You know, Dr. Eddie Taylor, you know, who you've been on the program with, who wrote the book,
mm-hmm.
The Day the Crabs Got Out, The Revitalization
right.
of America. You know, he's on to something there. Maybe we need to engage him. He reached out to me, in fact, and said that, you know, we have some factions in place, like the fraternity that you're in, and the church
right.
community, and other civic communities, neighborhoods, and street clubs. We need to bring it all to the fore. We need to come like, you know, Roman days with our clubs and our axes and our rakes and whatever it is we got, in terms of collective mindset, not the physicality. That was an analogy, but, you know,
right.
bringing our collective mindset out to say, okay, well, you know, this is what we're doing here, and all radio programs linking into one movement to say this is what we want. But my concern is that it's got to be a black agenda. I don't think the Republican Party is serving us, and I don't think the Democratic Party is serving us. I just do not. History has shown it. It just, before someone, you know, walks away saying there he is with the politics, if that's something that someone would say, I just suggest do the reading, do the work first. Now you can jump on your phone. You don't have to get on your computer. Look at the history of both parties. They don't serve us. And
right.
yeah, you can say, well, what do we do, start our own? That's not going to happen. You know, you got how many million people? 300, and we're just about 20 of that, or whatever the number is. You know, that's not going to happen overnight. But we can have our own movement within any and every party until we begin to develop our own. And I say this again, the Indians, they aren't moved, whether it's Democrat or Republican. They got some on all sides, or Green Party or Libertarian Party. Our Jewish brothers and sisters, they are all up in all the mixes. So we have to have a true agenda and understand that across the aisles, if you're African-American, you're African-American first, you're Republican second, you're Democrat second, Libertarian second, but you're African-American first. And anybody that's not subscribing to that, then there's an issue. And right now, that's all I see. I turn on, you know, CNN, turn on Fox, turn on MSNBC, turn on Newsy, and it's just polarization, you know, and it's not about I'm speaking strictly for the African-American community. I don't want to hear that rising tide floats all boats mess anymore. I'm done with that. I don't want to, I'm not there. So I get concerned when I hear about professional politicians, of which Al Sharpton is one. He's a minister. I get that. But I'm done with that. And with the political, you know, this Democrat versus Republican, how about somebody stepping up, somebody taking the lead and say, let's work together. But it's business. It's become a business. Well, I'm a Democrat. I vote Democrat. And when we're in power, we have our programs in place. There's got to be a better way. We're going to be stuck in the middle, no matter what. We get Trump out, and we get a Democratic Party. So, is that the panacea? Be careful. We got to be careful that our vote is not taken for granted. If we're going to have that party in place, that Democratic Party in place, there's got to be a commitment. And I'm saying that because I've been bit by a dog that treated Latinos and gay and lesbian. Yes, I said it because everybody seems to be scared, afraid to say it. Where are we coming from? We were on ships that came here. And because you got a relative that married a Latino or an Asian or Indian, you're afraid to say, yeah, I'm black and I'm proud and I need a black agenda. And until we able to stand up and do that, we ain't got jack. So, Sharpton, until you ready to say, you know what, my white brother and sister on CNN or MSNBC or Rachel Maddow, you need to take a step back and understand you really don't get it. We're starting to see little glimmers of that. You're starting to see little glimmers of that. Until you go on and turn on a Fox and you hear them say, look, Republicans, y'all need to be kowtowing to more blacks. Not enough. Y'all need to be begging the blacks to come over and say, look, here, we got something for you. Because don't think it's healthy. I really don't. To say, okay, all blacks going to be Democratic. Well, people get comfortable like that. That's like a monopoly. You're just not going to be well served. We got to be careful. We got to make sure we're crossing all boundaries. And at the agenda, the common thread is that it's a black thing. We're threading through all entities. That's a part of the model that I would want to work with you on, that we can then bring forward and see what our listeners think, because we got to respect them, because if they're tuning in and they've been listening for the last 3 years or 5 years with remarkable minds like yourself that come on and are speaking this kind of language, then that means they're educated and they've got some thoughts. And like you said, they're just sitting there. They're kind of, you know, right now digesting a lot. And truthfully, I'm seeing some of the numbers here. Some of them have been very vocal. So we're going to close it down for this evening. Let's you and I have some conversation this weekend. If you have some time, I know it's Dad's weekend. Maybe we can spend at least 20 minutes or half an hour sometime before Dad's weekend and just talk about how we might want to try to put something educational together for our listeners that they can sink their teeth into, so to speak. And be able to resonate with and galvanize around and build on. And God only knows what we might be able to do.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, to our listeners, we thank you for tuning in. I see we had a significant number of tuning in this evening. Again, to all the dads, not just sperm donors, to all the dads that are out there that are engaged as a dad, I wish you well. I wish you continued success in raising, that child, whether they're 12 or whether they're 52, they're still yours, and you still want to be given some wisdom and insight to them. And I wish you well in that endeavor. And I hope that you will tell someone about Progressive News Weekly, that you will tune in, because we're in this together, folks. And together we can make a difference. We can make a change for the good of ourselves. And if we're making good for ourselves, then, well, that will rise all boats. But we've got to make good for ourselves first. That's my thought, and I would love to hear your thoughts. So let this simmer. We dropped in a few little spices into our mix for you to kind of taste and see what might be missing. And perhaps next week, you and or someone that you bring to the table will have something to say about how we can spice this up and truly make a difference. I know there's all kind of marches going on tomorrow with it. Friday is Juneteenth on a Friday, so I know it's going to be marches all over the place going on for sure. But I just, you know, caution everybody. Know what is it that you're marching for. I understand the George Gale thing. I understand the brother that is in Atlanta thing. And y'all got to stop killing us, especially white folks. But, you know, understand that there's been some blacks around there, too, especially like the situation in Atlanta. You know, we got to watch ourselves. We got to be very introspective as to, you know, what's going on. So that I say, peace and blessings, nothing but love for you. Understand, we're in this together, and together we can make a difference. God bless you, Brother Kevin. Peace and blessings
bless
to you
too.
And yours. And we'll be talking soon, hopefully in the next 2 weeks. We'll be coming back with something. How about that?
That sounds good, brother. Be in touch.
All right. Be blessed, everybody.
Bye.
Every time we hear the music and feel it with love together, we got the kind that lasts forever. And like berries on the vine, it gets sweeter on the vine.